their language activity goes up. Okay, so let's think about that. The task that's creative, even if they both involve language at a very high level, involves more language activity when it's a creative one. And this, I think, is a key take-home point when we think about creativity and education. Creative activities matter. They change the brain. They require different resources in the brain. And it's completely foolish, I think, to eliminate that kind of teaching, thinking, education in our schools, because we are neglecting the fact that creative behaviors may engage the brain, the whole brain, in a way that very few activities do. And so it raises the question to me of why. Okay? Why do we do this? Why do we care? And you know, music is a very, very human thing. There may be some rare examples of music in the animal kingdom, but by and large, this seems to be a human property, and one that doesn't, as I said, have any clear, obvious survival advantage. Okay? It's not going to help any of us really live tomorrow. It may help us live better tomorrow, but it may not help us live. And when we start asking the why of music, and this is a question that's been asked for a long time, why music? To me, it boils down to a lot about communication, okay? And emotional communication to some extent, but communication more broadly. And there's this concept that music is the universal language, and this is, I think, at once too easy to say it that way, but on the other hand, so intuitive that almost everyone in this room will say, oh yeah, I get that. And so what's that all about? Well, the parallels break down if you look at it too closely, yet it's clear that both music and language are auditory systems that are complicated, that are used to convey ideas. They differ in very important ways, and I think that my experiment that I'm gonna show you next gets at some of that difference, which is that music doesn't have any clear meaning. It really doesn't have any precise meaning, certainly not in the way that words do. Okay? So I couldn't hum you this lecture and have you understand what I'm getting at. Okay? On the other hand, maybe I'd be better off humming a pretty song, because in the end, you'd have had a better use of your hour than listening to me speak. And so, you know, somebody, actually Victor Hugo said that music expresses that which words cannot, yet that on which we cannot remain silent. And that's kind of how I feel about it. So I wanted to explore this question of music as a universal language. And I wanted to do it through the lens of jazz, because musicians in jazz do something very natural, which is called trading fours. And they do this all the time. They basically have a musical call and answer, a back and forth, a conversation. And this is Herbie Hancock and his band having a musical conversation. You'll agree that you can hear that they are interacting with one another. They're having an exchange of ideas. It's wordless, but it's certainly substantive. Right? There is something there that's being exchanged. It might have an emotional content, it might have a cognitive content, but it has some content. They care, and they're listening to what one another are playing. And to me, that might get at the heart of it. And so we tried to design an experiment. And then when we look at the brain activity, we started honing in on what we call traditional language areas of the brain to see what went up and what went down during this kind of behavior. And this is what we found when we looked at the brain activity. And I think this is kind of interesting. I mean, to me, it's very interesting. But what we're seeing here is that when musicians trade fours, when they have a musical conversation, they're using perisylvian language areas. Okay? So classic language areas of the brain, Broca's area of the brain, that's involved in speech. It's highly active during this musical conversation, even though this musical conversation is wordless. It's more active during the spontaneous conversation than in the memorized exchange. Now, the other key thing here is that there's deactivation. The deactivation is in an area called the angular gyrus. And this is a kind of a neat area of the brain when we think about language, because it has to do with semantic cognition. So not how does your brain analyze the structure of the words or the correctness of the grammar, but how does it analyze the meaning of what you said, right? The meaning of your sentence. These musicians are using language areas that are syntactic, but they're having suppression of language areas that are semantic in nature. And so what I'm trying to suggest here is that maybe part of the reason why music is a universal language is because it invokes very intensely traditional language areas in order to have a musical discourse. But maybe some of the reasons why it's not quite a musical language or a universal language the way we would like it to be in a very neat world is because it has no clear meaning, at least from a language perspective. And so the linguistic, semantic meaning is completely suppressed in music. And so this, I think, the study, I think, is starting to show us some of the key differences between spoken communication and musical or creative communication that is wordless. And so this kind of experiment led me rather naturally to look at other forms of improvised music. And so one thing we have a lot of in Baltimore is crabs and a really, really good hip-hop scene. And so I have been slowly infiltrating the Baltimore underground hip-hop scene in a series of experiments that I can only describe as completely ridiculously hilarious and maybe some of the most funny thing that I've ever seen at Johns Hopkins University in 16 years. And so for those of you that don't know much about freestyle in rap, I didn't know that much about it. It is an amazing thing. This is Mos Def freestyling.
Slim brown skin, I be standing 5'10", I be rocking it when I be in your vicinity. Raw style synergy, recognize symmetry. Come to the engine, me broke them down chemically. Ain't the number 10 MC. Talking about hopping, I be styled it like Kennedy. Late like a 10-3. When I say, when I be, girl, say, when I keep, cause this is in that B. Way out like Tennessee. Take me to a place called the BK without pause or delay. Get run like pen relay. Don't deal what he say, she say. Ain't working for no cheap pay. The most deaf beat play. This what the streets say. Hey, Mr. DJ, play that devil Morgan. That jam got me open. Decide to break it broken. From front, side to side, middle to back. Never the whack. I come from Best Star Black. From Lewis AVE to be exact. Brooklyn!
So, all right. Give it up for Mos Def. I mean, it's extraordinary what's going on there. I mean, you'll know if you're not a rapper, try to do that. Okay? It will be miserable, okay? And so, I mean, what is happening there? I mean, the amount of fluency, verbal fluency, and idea generation is just extraordinary. And so it doesn't matter whether or not you like it, okay? Whether you hate it is completely irrelevant. There's no denying the fact that this is extraordinarily a creative thing. And my father and I have this debate because, you know, he listens, he goes, "Ah, what is that garbage?" I said, "Dad, you might hate it." I said, "You can't do it." And so... It turns out he's a killer MC. No, I'm kidding. So, what did I do? I brought rappers to Hopkins. So I invited freestyle rappers to Hopkins. And I had them memorize a control rap. And so this subject slide doesn't really do the group any justice. So these are the rappers that were kind enough to participate in this study. And so and they really helped me design the study and understand what they were doing. I mean, driving around Baltimore with a freestyler in your car for an hour or so is... just an experience for me because everywhere we go, I mean, he could freestyle nonstop. Every single thing would be converted immediately into a rhyme. And that was the basis of the experiment. We're going to give you words. You're not going to know what's coming up, and you're going to have to feed it into a rhyme. It's going to be called the word game. It's something that rappers do quite often. And so Slick Vic is in the middle there, and you're going to hear Slick Vic do the memorized rhyme here. Okay, and this is the control condition.
Memory. Thump.
Makes me complete. The climb is sublime when I'm on the mic. Spin lyrics to hit you like a light.
Search.
I search for the truth, the eternal quest. My passion's not fashion, you see how I'm dressed. Psychopathic words in my head are pit. Whisper these lyrics on the eye.
Art.
The art of uncovering that which is up in the inside. The mind remains undefined. All these lyrics keep spilling out like pain. I need a bad scientist to check my brain.
Stop.
So we had them do this in the scanner, and then what we did, you could see that we were cueing them with certain words. We would then extract three words from the control condition at random, and they wouldn't know what's coming. They would have to put that into the rhyme following. And so this is Slick Vic recorded in the fMRI scanner with the words like, head, and not coming at him, and listen to what he does with these words.
Freestyle. Like.
I'm like some kind of weird alien that lives with an extraterrestrial celestial sage. Back in the days, I used to sit in pyramids and meditate with two microphones
head.
Over my head. See if I can still listen, spitting off the top, and see what you're getting. I'll teach the children in the back of the classroom about these landscapes of apocalypse.
Not.
Still,
not really though, cause I gotta keep it simple when giving the lyrics to stick to instrumental, sentimental, grand Super Mario, all eating a chicken box, stop, this is just
stop.
Again, amazing things. And every rapper was able to do this really pretty easily. And so it was just a cool thing. I don't know if you noticed this, but he just rhymed though with simple and instrumental. Those words don't rhyme. And he made them rhyme. And so his use of language is so clever and so inventive. I mean, I couldn't come up with this if you gave me like a year. I couldn't do it. And he did it right off the cuff over and over again. And so here's a video of how we do this. This is Emmanuel. I'm using a fiber optic noise canceling
microphone.
We're
here with Emmanuel, who's about to do some freestyle for us. That's Emmanuel in the scanner.
It's a tough beat.
He's just memorized a rhyme for us.
Top of the beat in the normal key. Rhythm and rhyme,
and me like this.
Climb is sublime when I'm on the mic. Spin round, set a hit you like a lightning strike. Search for the truth in this eternal quest. My passion, not fashion, you can see I'm dressed.
He's an interesting rapper because he's a socially conscious rapper. He abhors violence in music, especially in hip-hop. He thinks it's taking down the art form because it's making people associate hip-hop with violence. So he's a freestyler who preaches positive thinking and actually was pretty unique. And so you'll see him improvise or freestyle on the word spit. And this is sort of the typical of how he would do his freestyles.
When you rhyme whatever, drop a dime wherever. Cause everybody's got a mission in life, they gotta find whatever. Times whatever. And you should spit on the ground, but don't spit on man. Internal quest for knowledge, you still get truth, and maybe one day you'll understand.
Stop.
And so one of the most extraordinary things to me was that the hip-hop artist generally said, that, you know, I would say, you know, anything else you want to say when I was giving them an interview, and they would say, I would say just give us a chance. We're a really decent community, and if you don't know anything about freestyle, you're missing out. And they're totally right. So then we analyzed every word that came out of every rapper's mouth. This took a long time, too. And first thing we found was that they were doing the task correctly. And then if we looked at the brain activity, we could say, okay, well, what changed in the brain when you went from doing a memorized rap, which is still a really complicated brain activity, and then a improvised rap? And here is, again, one of the sort of take-home maps. And this is what we found. It's sort of like a hybrid of the first two experiments. The first is that when a rapper switches from memorized rap to creative rap, their language activity goes up. Okay, so let's think about that. The task that's creative, even if they both involve language at a very high level, involves more language activity when it's a creative one. And this, I think, is a key take-home point when we think about creativity and education. Creative activities matter. They change the brain. They require different resources in the brain. And it's completely foolish, I think, to eliminate that kind of teaching, thinking, education in our schools because we are neglecting the fact that creative behaviors may engage the brain, the whole brain, in a way that very few activities do. Now, the other thing to say is that the prefrontal cortex show deactivation again. And this is an important idea because freestyle rapping has to do with flow. And this deactivation that we're seeing, we think, because we're seeing this over and over again in some capacity, we need to understand this greater, but we think that in most spontaneous freestyle or flow states, there's suppression of these self-monitoring or consciously suppressing areas so that you're not as worried about not saying the wrong thing. You're willing to take a chance. You're willing to make a mistake.